Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 27th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
They say that you can't judge a book by its cover, and I think it's probably true, and it's a cautionary note that we ought to exercise every time we turn on the internet or open up a newspaper, that you can't always judge a news story by its headline. After all, the reporter doesn't write the headline. Sometimes the headline promises more than it delivers. Sometimes it promises far less than is delivered. And it's especially true of headlines that come before religion stories. Join us to talk about some media coverage of the splits in the Presbyterian Church USA and the church abuse scandal in the country of Ireland. George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
George, what did you find interesting about the pairing of story and headline in a recent story about a Presbyterian church leaving the Presbyterian Church USA that was covered in a Colorado Springs paper?
Well, the Colorado Springs Gazette had a great story about First Presbyterian Church of Colorado Springs voting to leave its presbytery, but it had a dreadful headline that really missed the whole point of the article. The headline was, "Sparked by Acceptance of Gay Ministers, First Presbyterian Bolts Denomination." And basically, the fight has not been over gay ministers. It's an almost a generational fight that is centered around the interpretation of Scripture. And First Presbyterian has been working for over a year to disaffiliate, so I doubt that they're bolting anywhere. It's just sort of a way to sort of maybe sex up a headline or play up a title, but it just misstates incredibly the anguish and pain that's going on in churches across the nation over this issue of human sexuality in the Bible.
So you say the story, it's a pretty clean story, well-written story, but it may be an example, you say, of the subject, not the journalist dropping the ball. What do you mean by that?
Well, journalists hardly ever write the titles of their newspaper articles. They'll submit an article, and then an editor or a sub-editor will, you know, once it's laid out on the page, then they'll plop down a headline. And sometimes editors don't understand or don't read, or they have an idea in their head as to what's going on, and they don't really need to follow what's in the article. And this headline picks out to me the sort of the conventional wisdom that the fights in the Presbyterian Church and the Lutheran Church and the Episcopal Church are all about sex, when it's really much more than that. And this article shows why it's about the Bible and about other issues, and homosexuality, gay clergy, is just one of many issues that are causing denominations to break apart.
The term historic comes into play in this story. Where does that kind of highlight part of the problem with this kind of coverage?
Well, historic. I mean, it may have been historic for that individual church. First Presbyterians, the biggest Presbyterian PCUSA church in the state of Colorado, and it's leaving. And that's historic for Colorado Springs and maybe for First Presbyterian Church. But across town a few years ago, the largest Episcopal church in the state of Colorado quit its diocese over the same issues. And so it's not historic in the sense of this being the first time anything like this has happened. Major Presbyterian churches across the country have left the PCUSA for more conservative traditional denominations, as have Episcopal and Lutheran and method. I mean, you could just go through the whole gamut of mainline Presbyterian, mainline Christianity, and there are congregations that are quitting their left-leaning denominations.
Did this story kind of get that context there? That is, mainline Protestantism has, generally speaking, suffered a loss of probably about one-third on average over the last 30 years due to theological compromise. That's my term. I don't have a better term. And the Presbyterian Church USA is pretty much right in the center of that. It may be lagging behind the more aggressive denominations like the Episcopal Church USA or the UCC, but it's certainly in that mainstream there. Did the story get that broader context?
Well, it was a local news story, so its focus was what was going on in Colorado Springs, but it really didn't link it adequately or place it in the sense of context as to something that's taking place across Protestant denominations right now. There's a shakeout going on in traditional Protestantism. A few years ago, I interviewed George Carey, who was then the Archbishop of Canterbury. And Archbishop Carey told me that the period that Protestantism in the U.S. and the U.K. and across the world in Australia is going through is just as traumatic, just as earth-shaking as the Reformation 400 or 500 years ago. And it just happens to be being picked up right now in the press over homosexuality, but it, as you said, it's a 25-year process. It's about theology. And that if you really want to boil it down, is the Bible trustworthy and true? That's where the fight's taking place. Is it trustworthy and true on issues of human sexuality, on women clergy, on marriage and divorce, and on abortion? All these social, moral issues that we read in the newspapers, it's all coming down to, is the Bible a guide on how we're to live today, or is it a book written 2,000 years ago for people far away and very different from us?
George, another story that you have taken note of recently is another kind of multi-generation story. It's huge. We may not think much of it here in the United States because we just don't watch the news over there. But in the Irish Times, you've been following the coverage of the priestly abuse scandal, but you say that the Irish Times, their coverage to the big story here involving a cardinal may have been self-defeating. Tell us what you mean.
Well, the Irish Times is they like to think of themselves as the newspaper of record for the Republic of Ireland. They're the paper that everybody who's anybody is supposed to read. And they have been aggressively anti-Catholic in their coverage. They have painted the Roman Catholic Church's hierarchy in the darkest of dark tones in these abuse stories and by being so out front anti-Catholic, you're not going to change any minds. People who believe that the Catholic Church is guilty unless proven innocent are going to just have all their prejudices confirmed. And people who believe the Catholic Church is pure as the driven snow and the Irish Times is just out to get them, no matter what the Irish Times says, they won't believe it. When you get involved in this advocacy journalism, when you try to sort of push a point because you believe that's the issue, rather than let the facts tell the story, you no longer become an outlet for truth that people on both sides of an issue can go to help inform their impressions and opinions. Rather, you're just another loud megaphone in a political fight. And the Irish Times has lost that credibility.
As an example, in its latest coverage of now kind of the implication after the fact of the sitting cardinal there in Ireland, does the story seek a comment from anyone in the hierarchy of the Vatican?
No, they don't. They're pushing for Cardinal Sean Brady to resign to take responsibility for the clergy sexual abuse scandal. And there are lots of quotes from politicians who think it's a good idea the cardinal should resign. And you have quotes from some dissident Catholic leaders who are against the hierarchy, but you have only an anonymous spokesman here or there who says the cardinal didn't do anything wrong. Why are you picking on him? And it's unbalanced. It doesn't have the weight. In other words, reporters can emotionally rev up an article. If you've got a victim of abuse who tells its story and how some awful pedophile priest abused them for when they were a child, and then you put that, link that with an anonymous spokesman said the cardinal didn't do anything wrong, you're trying to create an equivalency there in the reader's mind that isn't there. The cardinal didn't abuse anybody. It was some priest who died in prison for being a child molester. Yet there's no balance in most of these articles about the clergy sex scandals.
With about a minute here, can you explain, you've used the term advocacy journalism, can you explain the fundamental difference between advocacy journalism and straight journalism? With about a minute here, George.
The American journalistic tradition is that the facts tell the story, that opinion is free, comment is free, and that's not what readers want. They want the facts and allow themselves to draw a conclusion. Advocacy journalism starts with an opinion, Catholic Church is bad, and lays out the facts to support that. And it comes down to a philosophical belief that there is no one truth, that everybody has their own individual truth, therefore we shouldn't bother trying to find the sole truth. Let's get our point of view out there and prove it. That's advocacy journalism.
By and large, when it comes to stories as inflammatory of themselves as priestly abuse, how do you think the press in general is doing? Is it straight or is it advocacy? About 30 seconds.
Most European newspapers, most of the English press, The Guardian, The Independent, and so on, they're doing a pretty poor job. At the end of the day, between 1915 and 1989, there were 300 cases of clergy child abuse in Ireland. That is the extent of the problem. It's terrible for those 300 people, but how many tens of thousands of other people had a good experience in Catholic institutions? It's out of all proportion. And painting the Catholic Church as a monster based on the actions of a few people, that's unconscionable reporting.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Colleen Carroll Campbell is going to join us on this Friday afternoon, May the 11th. I'd like her thoughts on, I just found this to be remarkable, but I guess if you're the chancellor of a Catholic university, you just do whatever you want. Georgetown University is going to have none other than Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius speaking at its commencement this year. I'll get Colleen's reaction to that. Also, something she's written recently about Vatican reform of a group of U.S. nuns.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.